It's time to follow on with some more news items now. There are quite a few contentious items written about this week. The introduction of waste charges brings a fear of increase in fly tipping, but on the other hand, someone has to pay for the electricity used by County Hall, which stands accused of having too many lights left on at night time. Transport issues are raised too, as a second railway station for Norwich is mooted, whilst it seems that cars might be banned from parking outside schools. Fears remain that controversial new charges brought in this week for the disposal of DIY waste at Norfolk's tips could lead to an increase in fly tipping, community leaders have said. From the 1st of April, Norfolk County Council removed its previous concessions on DIY waste, which allowed people to tip either an 80-litre bag or one item free of charge at the recycling centres. However, now these concessions are no more. Fears have been raised that this will lead to an increase in fly tipping as people look to avoid the charges. John Fuller, leader of the South Norfolk District Council, is one of those who expressed concerns. Mr. Fuller said, "I appreciate there is not enough money in local government and the County Council is in need of making savings. However, it should not be at the cost of those responsible for clearing up after fly tippers who do not want to pay the charge." That was echoed by the Norfolk branch of the Campaign to Protect Rural England, which also has fears of those unwilling to pay fines may turn to fly tipping. Michael Rayner, planning campaign consultant for CPRE Norfolk, said, "CPRE Norfolk sympathises with the difficult financial situation Norfolk County Council finds itself in, and that careful consideration has been given to the need to increase income to help manage cuts in other areas. However, we share concerns that by increasing charges for disposal of DIY waste, the council is likely to incur longer-term costs, both in financial terms and to the environment and countryside. This is due to the depressing likelihood of an increase in fly tipping, requiring removal, and the possible increase of domestic bonfires, both of which will be damaging to health and well-being."
It has placed many communities into the dark by turning off streetlights at night to save money and energy, with some arguing it has been at the cost of safety. But Norfolk County Council has now come under fire for keeping the lights on in its own buildings well after the majority of staff have gone home. Even though the authority has turned off more than 18,700 lights between midnight and 5 a.m, photos of County Hall in Norwich show lights on across numerous floors. A County Council spokesman said the lights on the 1st to 8th floors are operated by time motion sensors, which switch off automatically when people are not around and do not require people to flick a switch. "We do, however, have some night teams operating on the site, including security, and when they move around the building, the lights will turn on," the spokesman added. "In particular, we have a night cleaning team who will operate from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m, which would explain photos. In 2016, Norfolk County Council estimated it has saved £1.4 million and roughly 7,500 tonnes of carbon dioxide emissions since 2008 by targeting its 52,000 plus streetlights. As well as turning off thousands at night, which itself has saved £693,232 by that point, it has also installed LED alternatives and turned some off completely. It initially sparked concerns it would lead to a rise in crime and antisocial behaviour. However, council reports have said there's no evidence to support the link."
A second railway station is needed in Norwich to cope with the growing numbers of commuters, campaigners have argued. Some cities across the country have opened new stations to cope with growing passenger numbers, with Cambridge North serving the city's Science Park by connecting it to commuters in places like Norwich and Thetford. Now the Norwich Society, a group which campaigns for development, sensitive to the area's history, believes the area could benefit from another station on the outskirts of the city. It has even come up with four suggested locations for the new rail stops: Thickthorne, Dunstan, Dussindale, and Postwick, which it believes will be best placed to alleviate traffic and attract passengers. First, forcing drivers to come into the city centre to catch a train adds to the traffic on an already overloaded road system, and for many people increases the overall journey time, said Adam Francis and Paul Burrell in a Norwich Society column for the Norwich Evening News. Second, providing an alternative public transport route into the city would also benefit commuters and could help serve important commercial centres such as the Broadland Business Park.
A ban on traffic from outside Norwich schools at peak times of the day could be considered in an attempt to prevent children's lungs from being damaged by pollution. The innovative approach, which would mean parents could not drive children to the school gates, could be explored in the wake of concerns that exposure to polluted air does long-term damage to children's health. It could see Norwich following the lead of other councils which have restricted traffic around schools at the start and end of the school day. But councillors, while happy to explore the idea, have warned it would be very complicated to introduce, difficult to enforce, and could be very expensive. Green City Councillor Ben Price, who made the call for pollution exclusion zones to be considered, said there is a growing body of evidence showing that exposure to polluted air does long-term damage to children's health, in particular respiratory system and lung function.
It's a familiar sight for thousands of football fans who pass it on their way to watch Norwich City play at Carrow Road. But perhaps not for much longer, because the Carrow Bridge House, which has stood next to Carrow Bridge since the 1920s, is earmarked for demolition. The property was originally built for the bridge master, who was in charge of raising and lowering Carrow Bridge. Last summer, Norfolk County Council asked for the City Council to find alternative accommodation for the tenant, Reginald Down, who has lived at the property for more than 50 years. He has since left the property, and the County Council has applied to Norwich City Council for permission to demolish the home and the attached toilet block. Norwich City Council will make a decision on the demolition in due course.
Now for our first feature. The Sainsbury Centre at UEA was opened 40 years ago. Trevor Heaton's article sees the building as a work of art in itself. The second part of his article expands on the people who worked there, but we concentrate on the first part, which describes the building itself. It is read by Alan Shirley.